All right, I'm going to be in Mark chapter 10. We're doing our Real Jesus series. It's a long-term adventure through the Gospel of Mark, and you can catch up with these on our YouTube playlist at try.church/Mark. We're learning about the depths of Jesus, who Jesus is, what he came to do, and who we are in him, what it means to be a true disciple, a true follower of Jesus. So let's pray. Lord, thank you that you've called us on this journey to trust you, to follow you, that you've shown yourself to us. And I pray today, as we continue to look at your word, that you would grow our faith, that you would help us to learn to be persistent and desperate for a breakthrough, for your presence, for your power in our lives. And Lord, for all those who are far from you, who don't know you, today break down the walls of their heart. Help them know your love and your grace and bring them all the way into your fold, into your flock. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And all God's people said, amen. Let's stand up as I read God's word to us. We're going to be in Mark chapter 10, verse 46. Carrying along from last week. And they came to Jericho. And as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. This is God's word. You may be seated. This is the final healing that we're told of in the Gospel of Mark. And there's only one other healing that we're told of in a different gospel, which is at the arrest of Jesus right before his fake false trial. Guy's ear gets chopped off and Jesus puts it back on and heals it. So really this is, now there may have been other miracles, other healings that happened, but we're not told about them. What we're told is now the gospel writer Mark is getting us focused on the big mission of Jesus, the big reason Jesus came, which is he's heading to Jerusalem. He is going to be sacrificed for the sins of the world. He is going to offer healing for the souls of humanity. That is the big thing. So Jesus, yes, Jesus is a healer. He's come to heal. He heals the sick. He heals. He opens blind eyes. But the big work he's come to do is to save the soul. And there's plenty of people. There's going to be plenty of people going to Jerusalem. It's a bigger crowd. A lot of people there, a lot of people heading to Jerusalem. There's going to be a lot of sick people, a lot of disabled people. And a lot of those people, he's not going to heal them. In fact, when Jesus lived 2,000 years ago on the earth, you know, he was in a very small geographical location. It's not like there was global healing. And even in Israel and the regions he traveled around, not everybody that he encountered, he healed. Now, everybody who asked for healing, they were healed. So that should give us great courage. That should give us great faith. If we ask for healing, we can expect Jesus is a healer. That's one of the big things he does. He's a teacher. He's a healer. He's a savior. That's kind of like some big items that Jesus is up to. So it should give us faith to ask, but we also have to understand and have a theology of suffering. This is hard for a lot of Christians, a theology of suffering. Understanding that the whole world, the whole earth is under a curse that God put on it. Now, because of human rebellion, because of human sin, because of our fallenness, God cursed everything. That's why we die, there's sickness, there's trouble, all kind of things, because of the curse of God upon creation. That's hard for us to come to terms with that. We don't like that. But it's a reminder to us that every time there's physical pain in our bodies, it reminds us, yeah, I'm under a curse from God. Now, Jesus is the one who's come to set us free from that curse, right? He is the great healer. He can remove that curse from us. But every time there's pain in our bodies, every time there's a physical ailment going on, we remember we are part of a fallen race. We're part and parcel of this. We're all in this together. We're all in this fallen race situation. This world is fragmented. This world is broken. It's crying out for redemption, longing for resurrection. And the good news is, in the work of Christ on the cross, is as we put our faith in Jesus, we can be 100% confident our souls are restored. Our souls are saved, transformed. We have a place in heaven. We're fully forgiven. The grace of God is massive, fully forgiven of our sin. That's our hope. We also have confidence and faith that there are moments in this life of physical healing. Like the soul is healed, is restored to God. And there can be moments now where the body as well can be healed and restored. But we know fully when we get to heaven, there my physical body will be fully restored, eternally, indestructible. That's the way it's going to work. And this is hard for a lot of Christians to get wrap their minds around, that both are true, that we live in what's called the overlap of the ages, that we live in this fallen reality where the kingdom of God has come, but not completely. It's come in powerful ways. And there are sometimes where that's ramped up and there are seasons of the kingdom of God breaking in. You see more miracles and healings. You see more salvations, more baptisms, more breakthrough. And you say, wow, the kingdom of God is really here. But you also realize, wow, there's still suffering that goes alongside that. You know, this is hard because some Christians lean into the whole suffering thing. And like, it's just, you just suffer and white knuckle it. And God's just teaching you through that. And that's true. But some Christians just lean into there should be no pain, no suffering, no sickness. There should be complete healing and all of those things. God will make all your dreams come true, right? Like sometimes people lean in that side and it's like, well, look, there's truth in both of these sides that we do suffer. There is purpose in suffering. We got to see and have a theology of suffering. Jesus had to suffer. The world is under the curse of God and we're still living in that and there are moments of breakthrough. But even physical healing in our body is still temporary, isn't it? So people talk about like, oh, they died of old age. It's like, no one, I don't think, dies of old age. It's like, you die because a part of your body broke. And I guess we're arguing about terminology there, really. But it's like, okay, you see, so that part was just really old. Well, yes, it is old, but it broke. It stopped working. It's part of this fallen, fragmented world, creation, reality that we live in. This is what we see. So we have this disabled man in our passage, Bartimaeus. Suffering long-term disability. And he's on the side of the road. Not only on the side of the road, but the crowds are rebuking him. They are calling him out. Shut up. Be quiet. So we see his suffering. We see a glimpse into his life. One of the problems of physical suffering is that it oftentimes leads to social suffering as well. Social isolation, social rejection. Those don't always go together, but that's pretty common. If I'm struggling in my body, got sickness in my body, that can isolate me, separate me socially from people. And Jesus, man, he's got a heart to heal, to make us whole in every way. He still works through our sufferings and our hardships. And this man had been blind for a long time. We don't know if he was born blind or he developed blindness, but long-term disability, suffering, struggling, Jesus has a heart to heal, and he healed many people. And what's amazing about this moment with Bartimaeus is actually he's one of the only people in the Gospels who received healing from Jesus that we know his name. If you go through most of the people, you're not told their names. You're told the healing, but you're not told the names of the people. Actually, the only other person we know the name of is the guy who had his ear chopped off. So kind of the last two miracles of Jesus' ministry and his life that we're told about in the Gospels, we're told the names of the people, and this is particularly important in Bartimaeus' case, how personal and how intimate this account is. something wonderful for us to latch on to today, to hold on to today, that Jesus didn't come to start some nameless, faceless healthcare program, just sign up here. That Jesus cares about people, real people, people with identities, people, he wants to know their names, people who are suffering in pain, outsiders. And if you're an outsider, Jesus is here for you today. Jesus is here for you today if you're an outsider. This gospel of Jesus thing is so personal for us that Bartimaeus is kind of the definition of someone marginalized, right? Somebody on the outside socially, someone kind of ignored. You know, society, how does society work? Well, most people can function within society. There are degrees of that, of course, but there's a certain subset of any population that can't quite manage to participate in society. But society happens on the highways and byways. It happens on the roads. It happens in the ways that we travel and go about our daily, weekly, monthly business, right? We're traveling back and forth. We're doing the things of life, and most people can participate on that. They're involved in the function of society. But there are certain people, for all kinds of reasons, who cannot participate in that way, and they end up sidelined, literally on the margins. They end up in the margin. They can't fit into what everyone else can do. So they're on the side here, and this is Bartimaeus' story. And society can be very fickle about the marginalized, about those on the sidelines. And you see it in the crowd here. It's kind of almost hilarious, if it wasn't so horrible. What do they do to begin with? To begin with, the crowd's like, to the blind beggar bothering Jesus, shut up, keep it down. And then when Jesus notices and stops, what do they say? They don't just go, oh, whoops, we made a mistake. You know, it's not that. Verse 49, let's read this again. And Jesus stopped and said, call him. And they called the blind man, saying to him, take heart. Get up, he is calling you. Now, take heart. Take heart. How fickle. It's not just the world. It's not just the world. It's even those who are following Jesus, those who are saying, we're with Jesus. In one breath, shut up. Shut up. And then take heart. Take heart. He's called you. You know, on a dime, they switch on a dime in this moment. And our care for those in need, our care for the marginalized, for the poor, for those who are different from us, it can be so fickle. We can be full of showmanship at times. We can use the poor, can't we? I know I have. Have you ever done that before? You know, we can use the poor to feel good about ourselves. Well, I did my good thing for those who are poor. Or we can use the poor to motivate others. We can use the poor to guilt trip others or to judge others by. We live in a generation that, man, we say we claim to care about the marginalized, but we don't want to help the marginalized ourselves. We're outraged by suffering, but we want to outsource our compassion. King Jesus, on the other hand, is the kind of healer and leader who comes and says, I'm here to meet people. I'm here to learn names. And this is such an important point for us in our day and age, is that we can be so manipulated by information that unless we've actually met somebody and we've got a name to go by, we don't know. We're in a weird time in our society where it's like we don't even know the things we've heard. How true are they true and how true are they? And I think this Bartimaeus story is such a powerful reminder to us right now that suffering is about real people with names. And that we can talk all we want about the marginalized and the poor and have all of our opinions, but it changes when personally we meet a Bartimaeus on the side of the road. We end up in the margin with that person and we're faced with that reality. Because the God of heaven, he stops for the poor, he stops for the disabled, he stops for the powerless. He associates with the lowly. He's got a heart for the lowly. And so even if our hearts are in the wrong place here, Jesus has this amazing ability to get all of our focuses off of what we think is most important and onto his mission, onto what really matters. Even if we're switching on a dime, even if 1 second ago it's like, shut up. Jesus is able, in all of our messiness, to get us focused on what he really cares about, on the people he wants us to minister to and to care for. Even, you know, Jesus is heading to Jerusalem. He knows he's going to suffer and die. He knows he's going to sacrifice himself for the sins of the world. And even in that moment, he stops and he takes time for blind Bartimaeus. God has his plans. He's got big plans. Nobody has bigger plans than God. They're the most important plans. And even in his giant cosmic plans, he will stop for you. He will stop. And actually, the poorer you are, the more he associates with you, the more he's with you. The more isolated, the more marginalized you are, the more his heart is moved for you. God responds to desperation. I love this. That we can get God's attention. I mean, think of it. We can get God's attention. Now, it's not necessarily easy because it took persistence. Like Bartimaeus, I mean, he had to go after this thing. He had to go after it. But in this, we have, you know, this amazing example from Jesus and an amazing example from Bartimaeus, because a lot of this journey through the Gospel of Mark, right, it's like we're seeing the disciples being complete doofuses and messing up. And we're like, don't be like them. Be like Jesus, right? But now we have an example here where we're like, well, be like Jesus and be like Bartimaeus. Like, he's a great example to us. In Jesus, we're inspired by somebody who has a heart for the least, who will stop, who will listen, who can be interrupted, who gives his attention. Wonderful heart. We need to get that heart from Jesus. But we also have this wonderful example from Bartimaeus. This persistence and faith. Because Bartimaeus has a ton working against him, doesn't he? I mean, not only a very serious disability. I mean, it's pretty bad. Not only that, but then all this social pressure going on. Like, you know, crowds of people against him, telling him to shut up. Most of us would have given up, wouldn't we? Wouldn't it be easy to be like, well, there's a big crowd. I can't see, and there's a big crowd. It's going to be risky to go out into the crowd, and they're telling me to be quiet. Most people would have given up, but not Bartimaeus. And his story is in the Bible for you. His story, Bartimaeus' story, is in the Bible to remind us to not give up. Don't back down. Don't throw in the towel. Don't listen to the crowd. Don't be silenced. Don't give up. In fact, when you face opposition, get louder. Make your demand be made known to God. Power up. Defy the discouraging words of those around you. We need to learn to be like Bartimaeus, that when we face opposition, we actually get more persistent in the face of that opposition. Because it is human nature to take the path of least resistance, to ruminate on why we shouldn't, why we can't. But Bartimaeus is in the Bible to tell you, you can. God wants you to. All the negative things that come our way from the world, even from well-meaning people, will we learn to be like Bartimaeus and say, when I'm getting the negative messages, I've learned to give counter messages to those things. I've learned, I get the lie, I get the discouragement. I've learned to speak God's truth into those lies and those discouragements. Counter messaging. That's what I'm here to do. In the face of these negative words, Bartimaeus was not polite. He was distraught. And God doesn't respond to people who are polite. He responds to people who are distraught. I think it's desperation. Desperation is like the gate. That once you express your desperation, it's like the gate opens and now you're on the pathway to faith. I think that's the beginning of some of the deepest faith that we can have is, I'm desperate. Bartimaeus gets louder. Every time they tell him to shut up, he gets louder. I love this. Jesus says to him, your faith has made you well. Now, a lot of Christians, we're right to point out the sovereignty of God, the plan of God, God's in charge of everything. Yes, absolutely. But that becomes a big excuse to do nothing for a lot of people. And the words of Jesus here really smack us in the face when he says, your faith has made you well. You say, well, isn't it the power of God that made him well? Well, of course. But let's not ignore the words of Jesus. If he's saying your faith has made you well, of course it's the power of God that does the healing, because the curse of God had come and now Jesus has removed the curse. But Jesus is saying, I'm responding to something in you as well. Yes, I'm bringing my power to it, but I'm responding to your faith. I think, is there a correlation between faith and volume and desperation? If it's genuine, I think so. I mean, you can fake anything. You can be performative. You can make it look like you're desperate and loud for God and your heart's not in it. But I think if your heart's in it, God's inviting passion. He's inviting desperation. He's inviting volume, saying these are some of the signs of faith. Even in God's kingdom, it seems that the squeaky wheel gets the grease. That the more we squeak to God, the more attention he pays us. And we can ask him anything, and he responds. And he asks us, what do you want me to do? Because of this, we have to learn this lesson from this story of blind Bartimaeus, that we have to learn to raise our voice to heaven. We have to learn to make our presence known to the one on high, that he is listening out for our cry, that he stops for the blind, he stops for the disabled, he stops for the powerless. He doesn't award those with proper manners, he awards those who are desperate. If you shout to heaven, heaven will shout back to you. And this question that Jesus asks Bartimaeus is the same question that he asked that we looked at last week with James and John, the sons of thunder. They come to Jesus, Jesus, we want you to do anything we ask of. They were suffering from main character syndrome. This is a common problem. Some of us have this problem, main character syndrome. They wanted glory and fame. They wanted to be like gods. And so Jesus asks, it's the identical question. What do you want? Well, they come up with this terrible answer. What does Bartimaeus come up with? What do you want, Bartimaeus? I mean, he's a way better disciple than the disciples. He just wants to be a normal human being. That's what Bartimaeus wants. He doesn't want to be someone great. Doesn't want to make it about himself. See, when you've been an outsider, when you've been suffering for so long, you're in a privileged position to see the joy, to anticipate the joy of, I just want to be normal. I just want to be who God has made me to be. I don't need to be more than that. I just want to be restored to what I should be doing. And that is true in a lot of our lives. We're not at the optimal place. But we're not supposed to be gods. We're not angels. We're human creatures. And that makes us fragile, and we're kind of weak, fleshy, blobby things. You know, that was a weird way to say that, but you know, we're very fallen in our nature. We're weak in so many ways, physically, emotionally, spiritually. We're a hot mess. We're struggling so much to barely make it through a day. It's like, I just got to get through the day. How do I make it through the day? And a true disciple like Bartimaeus is saying, God, I just want to be what you've made me to be. One of the greatest ways to be unhappy and to destroy ourselves is to want to be more than what God has made us to be. And that's a huge lesson for us right now in our culture, right? Because with technology, we're like on the precipice of radical transformations in what does it mean to be human? And the disciples are like, we want to be like gods. Bartimaeus is like, I just want to be normal. I just want to do the things you've made me to do. That's true faith. That's trust right there. And if you've suffered, you get it too. Because you're in a privileged position to see the joy of just being human. It's a special, we're a fallen bunch. There's a lot of trouble there, but there's a special purpose and calling in being human. Saying, this is what I am. This is the creature. I am the creature that God has made. And I need to be the creature that God has made. So when God says, what do you want? It's not, I want glory, I want money, I want success, I want all this stuff. It's like, no, I want to be able to operate normally and do the things you've called me to do. This faith of Bartimaeus is incredible because he doesn't call him Jesus. What does he cry out? Son of David. Son of David. Now, King David was the greatest king really of Israel's history. And in 2 Samuel 7, there was a prophecy that from a descendant of David, there would be born one who would sit on the throne of David, but it would be an eternal reign. It would be an eternal kingdom. This is the prophecy, the promise of a Messiah. Messiah just means a special one, a chosen one. There will be one, and it will be an eternal kingdom. And so by blind Bartimaeus calling Jesus son of David, he's expressing great faith. He believes that Jesus is that descendant of David. Jesus is the fulfillment of that 2 Samuel 7 prophecy. There's a chosen one coming. It's Jesus, the son of David. What Bartimaeus lacks in eyesight, he makes up for with insight. For the man who cannot see, he sees more than these disciples have noticed to this point. He started off in the margins on the side of the road, beside the road, not able to travel the road. But now he's transformed by Jesus. He's now on the road following Jesus. I love this because he was a bystander and now he's a participant. And it's a powerful reminder to us that discipleship, it must be framed with participation, with followership, with saying, I'm going to get behind Jesus and walk in his steps. Because if we profess faith in Jesus, but we can't show faith in Jesus, we have no faith in Jesus. It's just lip service to God. True faith, true discipleship is not just to claim the name of Jesus and say we are calling him the son of David, but it's saying, I'm going to follow him on the road as well. But then it goes even further than this, because yeah, we can't see it in the English. He calls him rabbi. Bartimaeus calls him rabbi. But it's not, that just means teacher, right? But it's actually a very unique way to say rabbi. It's rabuni in the original language. It's a very rare way of saying rabbi. In Jewish literature, almost exclusively, this was used in prayers to God. It's the same word that Mary Magdalene uses when she sees the risen Jesus. Rabuni, not just rabbi, but a prayer to God. So for Bartimaeus, yes, he's got faith that Jesus is the promised Messiah. Yes, he's got faith and he believes that Jesus is a great teacher. Yes, he's got faith that Jesus is a great healer. But more than that, he believes that Jesus is God in the flesh. This is what Christian faith is all about. Truly about. That Jesus is not just a great man with great teachings and great morals and a great example to us, but he is God. He is the fullness of God come to us. Anyone that says, what is there a God? What is God like? You just have to look at Jesus and you get the full picture. This is what God is like. He is God. He is the fullness, the completeness of God. And that is what faith ultimately is. Yes, we confess our sins. Yes, we repent. Yes, we turn. Yes, we choose him. Yes, we put our hope in him. But it comes down to the foundation of all of it is, will I hope and will I trust that Jesus is God in the flesh, come to save me of my sin? Bartimaeus. I mean, it's incredible. It's not like he's watching YouTube videos all day long and like, I pieced it together, guys. It's not like he went to seminary and was like, I did all this studying and I pieced it together. Guys, on the margins, he's blind and he's like, son of David, Rabuni. That's faith. Will you have that kind of faith? To trust in Jesus. To trust that Jesus can not just save you, but he can heal you forever. Free you forever.